David declared that I was glad when the Ruach said unto me, let us enter into the tabernacle of Almighty Yahweh. Before the presence of the great Creator, the Mighty One of Israel, the One that hath made Himself known, the One that has shown us the might of His power and the strength of His righteousness. And so as we bow down here in the presence of our Abba, the only hope for Israel, knowing the fulfillment of all things, the revelation and power of the Torah and Yahshua HaMashiach, that the power of the flesh was not able to hold Him, to bind Him, to defy the statutes and the ordinance of Yahweh. So we thank You for that, Abba. We bless You. We do praise You this day. We do pray for the house of Israel, the remnants of the seeds that scattered throughout the nations of the world. You began to call them. You began to assemble them by the power of Your Ruach. As You opened the heart, the ears to hear, the mind to shema, to perceive, to know without doubting, to be instructed for the great time that is ahead of Your people. And as You touch the heart of Israel, the people of faith, we pray that they will be strengthened today as the battles rage, as the enemy come against them with great assaults, great tenacity, the fervor of His attack. Give them strength. Give them power to overcome. Even in the midst of the most overbearing situation, You give them strength. You give them the power to endure, to overcome. We know that You are able to do all things. You have the power to do all things. We pray that You will strengthen us all and cause the character of Your anointing to rest fully upon Your people. We ask it in Yahshua's mighty name. Bless all of those that are listening today, wherever they are. In every locale, in every place, wherever they're listening, as You pour out Your Ruach today, bless them mightily. As we are collective here today, I do want to pray for Pastor Babu there in India. Our precious brother, the great trials even of his flesh. Yahweh, You can raise him up. We pray that You will strengthen him. The fellowship of the brothers there. And also our precious elder there in Kenya. In the midst of a tremendous drought. We have had drought here, Abba. But nothing to that degree. The cattle are dying. They cannot grow food. Their babies are crying and emaciated. Heads are swollen. Their bellies are protruded. And they have no funds, Yahweh, no monies for a simple bowl of maize, for some bread, cornmeal, and something to fill their bellies. Lusukamawiki and Ugali. There's nothing, Yahweh. The land is parched. The beasts are dying. There is very little water even to consume or to drink. I pray that the living water of Your word today will fill the hearts of those, everyone. I know, my Abba, we can speak lawfully of Your people in such distress and say what they ought to be doing and how they can overcome. We have never, in this time, and challenge like that. We saw a small microcosm of that in New Orleans. But your vengeance and your fire is going to rage over this nation. It is a hellish nation. It is a wicked nation. It is a people that do not have the character of righteousness. No love for you. But I am talking about those that say they love you, Yahweh. It is a rebellious generation. It is an adamant generation. It is a staunch generation. It is one of pride. It is one that is haughty. It is one that is stiff-necked. It is one that resists truth. So I prayed simply for the remnants, the seed of the remnants of the house of Israel, that you will strengthen in every nation, every part of the world, wherever they are. We ask it all in the mighty name of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. May this worship today, as we take solace in the rest, in this great Shabbat, as I said to our precious brothers yesterday, Brother Patrick, as we were dialoguing, Yahweh has given us this Shabbat to add life to us. It's a time of rest. It's a time to meditate and consecrate ourselves upon Him, and not labor for the things of the flesh, trying to appease it. And if we would take the seriousness of the Shabbat with that kind of mentality and attitude, we would do it every day, Yahweh. And the Shabbat would truly become a tremendous rest, a time of great comfort, that we will sense the jubilance, the great joy and the great esprit of our heart before you, the Yahshua. We bless you today. Bless the music as we sing. Those that are listening by live stream, those that with Brother Nathan, whoever they're listening, I pray, Abba, bless them. In the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, we bless you. And all his conditions cried, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and praise Him. Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah. For in this Shabbat, we say unto you, our precious Abba, thank you. We come before you with the offering of thanksgivings. We give it all to you. We give all thanks unto you in all reverence. For a course you have brought us this week, that we may come into your presence and to bless you mightily. We thank you for the Shabbat. We thank you for the victory over the wicked one. Many have been drawn under the guise of things that satisfy the heart. Your word declare the Torah, the law of a man's life, as hell and the grave are never full. Neither can the love, the heart of man, be satisfied with abundance. It will never be satisfied. The only thing that enriches a man's heart is to be thankful. In all things you declare, give thanks. For this is the will of our Abba, that we are very thankful. So with that, we ask you to anoint your man servant today, that he may speak with great clarity. Those that hear, that they may understand. And every word may be precise and clear, that the wisdom of the mind of man may be open up unto the mind of HaMashiach, that he did all things to please our Abba. So we thank you this day and we bless you. May the music and the singing be a blessing to your heart, Abba. We ask it all in the precious hope, Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel, we bless you. And all the traditions cried, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Turn to your neighbor and say unto them, Shalom, Olayashem. Yahweh blesses you all. You may be seated. What a great opportunity this hour to know Yahweh. It's a generation and a people. Will you tend to use that expression often, Pastor Roberts? Well, certainly I do. It's a generation that has no concept, no love for Yahweh. It's a generation that is far removed. It's a generation that is empty. And that is why the powers of darkness are filling the minds with the iPods, with the superficial things that do not add any dimension to their lives. So you sense this darkness and this stare in the eyes of a generation. Because there is no fear of Yahweh in them at all. You find a generation that has no true concepts concerning life. It's all based upon illusions and fictitious aspirations. But it's not based upon truth. Yahweh tells us what to expect. He instructs us what to look for. He teaches us how to prepare ourselves for one of the greatest assault that has ever been known unto man. And it shall come upon the face of the earth like never before. This is a generation that the enemy is preparing for one thing. And that is to reject Yahweh. This generation rejects truth. Any kind of discipline. Because it is an ignorant generation. I'm talking among his people that say they know him. And that they love him. It's a rebellious and very adamant. That's a profound statement because I do want to go immediately into the text today. But there's a word that as I search the Apocrypha, as I search scripture, as I try to understand word meaning and purposes of word, I believe that every word has such a value that Yahweh has said to this generation, that man is going to be judged, or we're going to be judged by every idle words that proceed out of our mouths. Words of vanity. Words that intrigue satanic powers. That open up the corridor of some kind of paganism of worship. That the mind is moved from the Torah of Yahweh. You must understand as we look at the pattern of Yisrael. Every time they began to murmur, complain, and ostracize, they were moved into a pagan form of worship. They turned away from Torah teaching. They turned away from the inspirations of Yahweh, that they had no aspiration to fulfill what he commanded them to do. And we see the strength of that in this generation like no other generation. There's a form of what we call a God worship. That the creature is esteemed more than Yahweh, his Torah, his truth. And so there's a profound word in Ezra, in the third book of Ezra, in the Apocrypha. I like what it says. I want you to hear this. It's very prophetic. It's profound. And what it states, it has a tremendous revelation to it because it identifies the woman, it identifies the religious body and the world. It simply says this, as a whore, envious and despise a right and virtuous woman. Do you hear that? As a whore. We understand the metaphor of that spirit of whoredom in scripture. So as a whore despises, hate, rejects a right and virtuous woman, and a whore despises one that reflects her ills and her fallacies. As a whore, despise one of that character and that nature. So shall a righteous man hate iniquity, the lawlessness, the Torah-lessness of one's heart and mind. You began to remove yourself away from Torah teaching and instruction. It is because you are playing the role of a Jezebel, a whore. When one will not endeavor to understand the fullness and the power of Torah, it is because that one is walking in the spirit of a whore. And a whore will despise, reject, and hate anyone or anything that reflects the malice, the sin, and the corruption of that whore's heart. So Yahweh uses that metaphor or that truism to show us if we truly love Yahweh, as a whore hates a right and virtuous woman, so shall we hate iniquitous and corrupt ways that defies Torah, that defies Yahweh instructing you. Yahweh must instruct us in this hour. He must instruct us. Without Yahweh instructing us, then we are a world people. And that is why we are so filled with woes. That is why our lives are so disoriented. That is why our lives do not represent any power of strength and truth. You may kid yourself and say you do. You may deceive your own mind and say you do. And yet we do not represent the strength of Torah teaching. And the reason why, as a whore, a religious woman, a religious pervert, one despises the virtuousness of Yahweh's instruction. One hates and resists the truisms that He teaches unto us. One rejects the lawful truths of Yahweh because, first of all, they began to transform. They began to change one. It began to create a new thing. Now, somewhere we have missed it. When there is not a new appetite created in us, there should be a new mind, a new desire. What do you mean? That we have cast off the old things and the former things that brought us under the bondage of Egypt. And that is, we were laid down with sin. We transgressed the Torah willingly. We defy the Torah of Yahweh with willingness in our Christianity of pagan rituals and ritualisms. We defied and rejected the Torah teaching of Yahweh. As I said to the brothers of the day, Christianity is no more than an amalgamation or a compository of every kind of pagan religion there is. You find some of Druidism in there, the pagan Easter or Estars and the pagan Halloweens. You find some of the Aphrodite's type worship in there, in their sexual revolution as the women dressed like Jezebels. You find every kind of tenet of religion and what we call Christianity today. It is just a religion. You find some similitudes of Torah teaching in there. It is just an amalgamation of every kind of collection of religious fragments you can find throughout other religions. And they have incorporated that into what they call Christianity. And we have all been a part of that. That is why it is so difficult. We have such difficulty in transforming our minds. And our minds be renewed. And the only way it's going to be done is by the power of the Ruach. That's why men today are unstable, they are uncertain, they are not sure. Because there has not been the transformation or the changing of one. And when one truly began to change, only then you can begin to instruct them. Yahweh wants to instruct His people. I know in our vernacular we think we understand what that means. But we do not. Because we take everything lightly. We take Scripture lightly. There is no energetic desire to understand Scripture. You read them to no avail. You sit down and spend your little hour or 15 minutes in what you call your devotion. But it is not a devotion. It's become a ritual form and a ritualism that doesn't produce anything. When one is devoted, can I give you a prime example? If one is devoted to understand the intricates of, say, physics, they will never understand the complexities of that until they practice problem after problem after problem. Is that right? That is absolutely right. So how can you understand the intricates and the nuances of Yahweh without literally practicing what you think you're reading or understanding? And the only way you can understand that or utilize that, you must understand the concepts of the beginning, the Bereshit. One cannot understand the dynamicism of physics without understanding what 1 plus 1 is, the beginning, the Bereshit of all equations. So how do you understand the dynamicism of Yahweh when you have not gone to the Bereshit, the beginning of all things? And it begins with you. He begins with your iniquitous, corrupt ways that defies His instructions, because His Torah is His instruction to man. It disciplines us. It chastises us. It corrects us. It exposes us. That is what instruction is. And this is a generation that despises that. You despise instruction. You do not want anyone to instruct you in the smallest or the most minuscule thing. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. Now, if you will not accept that from brothers and sisters, you think you're going to accept that from Yahweh? And you don't. I want to be guided in Scripture. What it says out of the book. I know we do not love the book. I know we don't have an affection for the book, because it plays a very limited role in our lives. Now, if you are offended at that, you are uno, number one in line, because you are the one that totally resists and rejects truth. You are the one that is walking under the auspices of the power of that. So there is not a time that we literally sit down and actually study the book, whereby it becomes the most intricate, most valuable thing in our lives. It is not the most valuable thing. It is not the most important thing in our lives. The Torah is not important. It is not the most validated thing in our lives. The most validated thing in our lives is our own lust and our own corruption. Our own wickedness, the sin of our own life that opposes what Torah teaches. Because if it was, just like a man or a person cannot do without a natural food, how do we exist and continue to exist day in and day out without this food feeding our ruah? Tell me. You cannot go 3 hours without filling your belly with the pig husk of the land today. You cannot go a few minutes without filling your bellies with junk. You make sure you keep enough of that around to fill your pig-like nature. I don't apologize either. But when it comes to Torah or truth, we never endeavor to make that an incorporated part of our lives. Not just reading. Because you read and you don't understand. You read words and you have no full understanding of what the word is implying, what it is trying to convey to you, what it's trying to instruct you in, what it's trying to teach you in. Why? Because we want to have a witness to say, well, I read Scripture. I did that. The only way you're going to understand the intricates and the nuances of Yahweh, you must understand what He is saying. That's why we need the mind of HaMashiach. You don't have the mind of Yahweh, but we need the mind, let this mind that was in Yahshua be in us as well. Can I show an example before I move farther? When you were in school, when I was in school, I always wanted to do things to cause my mother to be very happy, to delight in great grades, to make A's. And so my agenda, my desire, was not to make the B honor roll, but to make the A honor roll. My desire was not to be a mediocre student, but to be an excellent student. In order to be an excellent student, then it took time to study. I had to study, I had to spend hours doing things where others were participating in things that I did not take time to participate in that, because I wanted to be an excellent student. And in order for you to understand the excellencies of Yahweh, you cannot wait just to the Shabbat or Wednesday, and there is no urgency of desire to study Scripture. You can't do that. And that is what we have done. The creature has become more valuable than the creator. The pleasure of the creature is more important than what Yahweh says. It is the creature that has supplanted the truth of Yahweh. It is the creature that is most important than what Yahweh says. And that is the dilemma of his people today. And the reason we're in that dilemma, because we do not love him. There's not a great love for him. And that is the truth, brothers and sisters. You can get upset with me. That's all right. The enemy is upset with me all the time. So I have no compunction about that at all. Yahweh identifies, and when I search scripture, all I see is he identifying a people. He shows me an example of his people and a pattern that they walk in unless this thing becomes more real and has more substance than your natural life, that we feed it with the swine natures of this life. And everything that the world offers is filthy. It is not clean. We're not just yet clean. That's what HaMashiach said. You're not all yet clean. You have not been washed and filthy. You stink. You're dirty. Your flesh has corrupted you. Your flesh has made you filthy. And we want to always murmur. That is one of the most identifying spirit of witchcraft than any other one. One of murmuring. When you find someone to murmur, I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your dad, or your mama, when you find that it is the opening of a door to witchcraft. What is witchcraft? That one's mind is turned away where they cannot obey truth. And the Torah comes to examine who? It comes to examine you. And when your emphasis is on someone else, it lets you know that you're walking in the power of whoredom and witchcraft. And the reason we don't know this, because we take the things of Yahweh very lightly. They do not have an intrinsic or any kind of value to us at all. We do not value them very highly. The truths of Yahweh do not have a great value in our lives. Not at all. This is what Yahweh says to his people. I want you to hear and hear clearly. Open your ears to hear. He says in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35, as you raise up his servant Moshe to stand before a house that was a putrefied house. It was full of stench. It was full of every kind of whoredom and corruption. And it gone away from the Torah. We must understand what Torah is. It is Yahweh's power to instruct you with instructions that you may be wise. And every instruction is a discipline. We are the most undisciplined people upon the face of the earth. Every instruction is a discipline. Any instruction is a discipline. If you buy something and you must put that together, well, the instruction is a discipline to prepare your mind for every little screw, every little bolt, that it is all valuable. Have you ever looked at something to put it together, not reading the instructions? And when you finish, you had a multitude of excess. They do not put excess in those packages. And the reason you had a multitude of excess, because you were not disciplined. You were not instructing. You were not allowed that instruction to teach you. And that's this generation. And you will get frustrated, because when you get it together, well, if you had looked at the instruction, you would have gotten it right. But because you cannot be instructed, you did not get it right. And so this is a generation, any kind of instruction, it is a stupid, silly generation. And that's what scripture says. It is a stupid, silly generation, because instructions have no value at all. They're ignorant. They're going to die in their stupidity and their ignorance. I don't believe that. Did he do that in the wilderness with the house of Israel? Sure is. He brought them all out too, didn't he? Did he bring you out? And some of you are going to die there too. Absolutely. This is what scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. It says, to you, it was shown. You had physical evidence You had visual evidence. It has been shown. The intricates of it has been made known to you. It was shown that you might know that Yahweh, He is sovereign ruler, and there is none else beside Him. Yahweh says to His house, I want you to understand that I am the only ruler. Nothing precedes me. Nothing overpowers me. I am the one that rules, period. Yes. And so if I am rule, then I will instruct you and imply to you what I want. He means He is sovereign. There is no other ruler. There's no one else that has the authority or the capacity that Yahweh possesses. He said, it has been made known to you, it has been shown to you, that there is no other one that has the power I possess. The gods, they're all thrown down. Pharaoh's army has no power to resist me. Your flesh has no authority at all to defy Yahweh. And yet we defy Him, don't we? Our flesh defies Him. He goes on to say, out of the Shemayam, Yahweh, He made you to hear His voice, that He might, now this is the purpose, that He makes us to hear His voice, that He might, Yascha, instruct you upon the earth. Do you understand that? He makes us to hear Him, that He might instruct us, that He might discipline us. Are we a disciplined people? You're not even disciplined in any kind of practice. I don't care what it is. Anything in life, it takes a tremendous discipline. When I went into the military as a soldier, the first thing they did was discipline. They had to tear down all of my little habits and ways, and they made me to conform to the discipline. This is a wicked generation. It doesn't want to conform to the disciplines of Yahweh. You speak your mind, but it's a silly mind. You make your statements, but they're immature, and they're not with the maturity of Yahweh. He said, I will make you hear from the Shemayam that I may, Yasha, that I may instruct you, that I may provide unto you, that I may give unto you an authoritative measure of my commands that you may know without a shadow of a doubt. Now that is what Yahweh is doing. That I may instruct you, that you may know authoritatively that I am the one. I am the one that speaks to you. I am the one that instructs you, Yasha. I am the one that disciplines you. I am the one that chastises you. And what I inform you of by my advice, the only way you're going to understand that or take great delight in it is that you have the mind of Yahshua. Now, if you do not have that mind of HaMashiach, you will not take great delight in what I speak to you. Now, we are people that will not take great delight in any kind of instruction. I don't care whether you are sweeping, whether you are cooking, whether you are cleaning. We do not like instruction. And it shows us the falseness and the inability of our own life. It is one thing that all wise people do. They hear instructions. A wise man, a wise king, he hears the disciplines. He hears the chastisement. He hears the authoritative measures of Yahweh that advise him. And so what the enemy has done, he has kept you from Scripture and caused you to walk in a busybody nature. He has removed you from Scripture to cause you to be a murmurer and a complainer. And that is not about the spirit of whoredom. That's what a whore does. It's the nature of a Jezebel. As a whore, despise the right and virtuous woman. So a righteous man, a righteous person, hates iniquity. Whose iniquity? Your iniquity. What has caused you and your mind to be removed away from the instructions of Yahweh? And Yahweh says to His house that I will instruct you. Let it be that I might instruct you upon the earth. And upon the earth He showed you His great fire, His anger. And you heard His words out of the midst of the fire.
And because, not because he loved you, but because he loved your of heart, your fathers, the forefather, who? Abraham, the Yitzhak, and Yisrael, because he loved them. Not because of your measure of love, because you don't love him. When one loves Yahweh, they keep his mitzvahs. Truth. You can talk love all you want to. Your kisses means nothing. Your embracing, it has no power at all. Period. It means nothing. This is a superficial generation. It's been trained this way. You 30-ish and under, you've been trained superficially. I don't know what the world would say, young man, but we did not have all the things that has been offered in that generation to encumber us, to remove our minds away from disciplines and truths. I didn't have those kinds of things. And the things that disciplined us was an authoritative word and advice by granny. That's what we had. And we grew up with a different type mentality and a different type spirit. Today they have no discipline. They have no honor. They have no respect. They don't even respect their pappy and their mammy. And the reason why? Because the mother before didn't do that. And the one before didn't do it. And that's the reason why. Because they have rejected Torah, then he cursed it down to the seventh generation. We don't want to buy it, but it's still the truth. It is the hand of Yahweh. It is not the hand of man, it's the hand of Yahweh. He said, because I love your avats, your fathers, therefore he chose their seed. He just simply chose them. He had the power to choose the seed after them and brought you out in his great sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations before you, greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. He says, know therefore this day and consider in your life. Do you see who he's dealing with? He's dealing with what's in you. He said, I want you to consider this. And when one consider a thing, they ponder it. A wise man always hear before they speak. A wise woman always hear. A fool, they utter their mind. And they don't have the mind of HaMashiach. Let this mind that was in HaMashiach be in us as well. What was that mind? Did it do all things to please Yahweh? Did it bless the Abba? Sure it did. Did it have meat to eat? And what was the meat to do and to finish the will of his Abba? He says unto them, know ye therefore this day and consider in your lab that Yahweh, he is sovereign ruler in the Shemayim above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. He said, I want you to know, you may think that you possess some essential qualities, but you possess nothing. I want you to know that I rule. And I reap where I sow not. I gather where I've not sown or harvested. Why? Because the earth is mine. Everything belongs unto me. The wicked even belongs unto Yahweh. He tells them, he said, you shall keep therefore his statutes, his oath, and his mitzvot, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. Do you all understand that? When a man truly delights in the Torah teaching of Yahweh, his statutes. What is a statute? You know what a statute is? It's a limitation. It instructs you in limitations. And we have statutes in life, don't we? There's a statute to the physical sense of man. When a person reaches 18, 19, they stop growing. A man has a little more time than a woman. A man at the age of 20, he will stop growing. So there's statutes in everything. These are limits. These are requirements. They are limitations. That is what statutes are. It limits us. It restrains us. And what are we to walk in a life without a stature? And one that says he is the sovereign ruler. He has no statutes or government to govern us. It's not so. That's why he speaks instructions. They're vital today, brothers and sisters. We're a generation that cannot be instructed. We're a silly generation. The scripture calls the people silly. And it identifies a certain segment that it says they are silly. And that's what it calls them, silly, naive, stupid, ignorant. Now that's what Scripture says. And if you're found in that category, it's you, period. He said, you keep my mitzvahs, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you, and not only with you, but your children after you. This is a generation that doesn't care a nickel's worth of dog's meat. When a man obeys Yahweh and keeps his truth wholeheartedly, he does that. Then Yahweh, even the curse will not even overtake the lineage of that man. But because we don't do it faithfully, because there's no sincere devotion to Yahweh, because there's no love for His statutes and His disciplines, then we find that mess in our homes. We find the chaotic situations. Why? Because we don't love Yahweh. And if you do not establish that strength in your life and in your home, how do you think someone is going to feed on that? How does one receive from that? They cannot. How is one taught in school by a teacher? Well, a teacher that does well with his or her pupils is a teacher that loves the profession, that loves to teach, loves it. And it is a great discipline there. When I was in school, that's the way it was. That was the prima donna of all things, discipline. And everything else triculated from discipline. Everything. Everything. Why? Because it was taught in the home, and we did not go to school in disregard to teachers. It was taught there at the home, and today in the homes is not taught. There is no statute. There is no limitation. They do what they want to. They stay out as late as they want to. They dress the way they want to. They act the way they want to, because there is no limitation. When I was in school, there were limitations. You never disregarded the teacher. You never spoke in a way that showed you were rising up in your own strength. You never did that. It was never done. And so Yahweh says, because your avats have received my instruction, my yatsah, He said, because of that, then you will find that trickulating down unto your lineage. They may not walk in the fullness of that power, yet you will see the strength there. And what Shaitan has sold you, he has sold you a false bill. A false delusion and an illusion that you actually think you're supplying or putting forth some excellent in them, and you're actually destroying their love for any kind of desire for Yahweh at all. If any man love the world and the things of the world, then the love of Yahweh is not in him. I don't care if it's your mammy, your pappy, your grandpappy, your wicked son, your daughter, you. It makes no difference. That one has no love of Yahweh in him. Period. Period. So if any man, his heart is inspired by the world, his motivation comes from the corruption of the world, from the seduction of the world, there's no love of Yahweh in them. Our motivation must come by the instruction of Yahweh, His discipline. And He must discipline our minds to hear. Shaitan has done a good job on your mind, hasn't he? He disciplined you to hear every kind of falsism, every kind of lie, every kind of folly. He disciplined you to hear your lies. Did you even lie to yourself? Doesn't he? But he doesn't discipline you to hear Yahweh. Your ears are not open to Yahweh. And that's the truth. We don't hear what Yahweh says. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Ruah of Yahweh speaks in this hour. Now if the Ruah of Yahweh is not speaking here, I would flee. I don't care who you are. Run for the hills. Find your safety place. I will leave this place. I know one thing that is Ruah speaking. I'm hearing from those that are left, and they, as a matter of fact, one sent a large offering the other day. You're not finding truth out there. Very little. I hear from a brother all the way from Denmark. I was showing Elder Martin this morning from Amsterdam. And his heart, bless you, Pastor Roberts. This kind of truth, or the simplicity of his truth, has not been heard. Show me. And I think I prepare myself more than you. Are you supposed to know? I just prepare myself. And anything I do, I prepare myself. I don't care whether it's working in the hay field or working to plant the garden. I started last year in winter time preparing for the garden. I don't wait until the time of sowing to prepare for my thoughts being on the gardening. I don't wait for then. I prepare now for the winter. I discuss winter issues now. I look at the winter now, what we call summertime times of lean. I don't prepare for the Shabbat on Thursday or Friday. I prepare each day for the Shabbat. I prepare my mind, discipline, and according to Scripture. The Scripture instructs me, it disciplines me, it chastises me. I was sitting with Elder Martin the other day, and he commenced to chastise me. I understood what he was saying. He said to me, I want you to stop that. Period. And he did not speak in a very low-key way as Elder Martin does at times. I understood what he was saying. I said, Elder Martin, I understand what you're saying. I receive that. But this is what I want to convey. He said, I understand that. But you don't have to prove that. If they cannot see that, then don't worry about it. I understood what he was saying. I had great respect for that. And so you don't prepare for a thing the night before. Will a bride prepare for her bridegroom the night before? Or does it take preparation? Take days, doesn't it? Sometimes months and years she prepares for that. That occasion, that there will be no other occasion like that. Do you understand that? Did I make that clear? She prepares for that occasion like no other occasion. Can I ask us all a question? If Yahweh made you, He's the sovereign ruler. You think it takes no preparation to prepare to meet Him, to be intrigued by Him? We prepare more to go out to Walmart and to Kmart than we do for Yahweh. We will make sure we dress in our appropriate attire. We will make sure we put on something that will be intriguing to others when they see us. And yet when we come before Yahweh, because we are not instructed, we will not receive His instruction how to come. He tells you how to come with your hands lifted, with your voices resonating Him, with an exciting joy. I said to my wife this morning, I'm excited. Why? Just because He gave us rain. Wasn't much, but I'm happy. I was in that garden on Friday, and it's like powder dust. And to get that, I said, I'm happy today. For what? Rain? Yes. I bless you, my Abba. Thank you. What I hear from men like Elder Martin, when there is no rain, they're dying. Their children, their heads are swelling. And this fat, seductive, wicked generation. And if you read some of the messages that he sent me, they are very profound. The etiquette of his teachings, his words, much more profound than what we find in this nation. This is a superficial religious thing in this nation. Nothing is real in this nation. And Shaitan has honed the minds of this generation that nothing is real. We don't take Yahweh serious. We don't take His statutes serious. We don't take His mitzvahs. We don't take His instructions. Why? Because we are a very unwise generation. We're very unwise. We're not a wise. We're wise in our own sight. We're wise to do evil, but to do good, you're not wise to do good. We're wise to run our polluted mouth because of our silly brains, but we're not wise to do right. And the only way you're going to be wise to do right, you must be disciplined according to the instructions. The next time you get something that is complex, I will say to the brothers, I was telling Brother Dale, I believe, Dick and Benny, one of the brothers one day, I said to them, Brother Patrick, I believe as well. I said, it's one thing about old Simmons. When I get something, if it has to be put together, if he's there, I am the type I will look at something. And I will say, I know how to do it. Brother Allen, the first thing he does, he takes the instructions. And he reads them. And I'm like, Simmons, let's get on with this, man. I want to get it done. And all of a sudden, I'm putting things together. He said, that's wrong, Pastor Roberts. This piece must go in. I said, oh, come on, man. Okay, you're right. You're right. That peace must be there. But because he has the discipline to do that. And what Yahweh said, in order for you to have the discipline, it begins in the Bereshit of all things. It begins with the sovereign ruler. You must understand who I am, what I require, the way I require, what I expect of you, and not what you think you expect of me, but what I expect of you, because I'm sovereign. I'm the ruler. I'm the one that instructs. It is my Yasha. I'm the one that disciplines you. I'm the one that speaks authoritatively. You don't speak with no authority. Your words have no authority. He said, I am the one that speaks with authority, and my advice is supreme above all. Above all. So he wants a house, Israel. He said, the only reason I deal with you because I love your daddies. You never dealt with a situation like that. There are those, the old timers. The child will be wayward. And the old man and the woman say, boy, the only reason I would deal with you is because I love you, daddy. Your mama was a good old mama. Your daddy was good. I loved him. If it wasn't for him, I would not even spit on you. That's the truth. I would not even talk to you. I would not even entertain you at all. It is simply because your daddy was a good man. They would say that. He was a fine man, he was. Because of him, boy, I'll give you a job. You mess up one time, you're gone. And so that's what Yahweh said. It's because of your avat, Abraham, that he loved me. And he even instructed those that were without instruction. Because of men like that, Yitzhak and Yisrael, Yaakov, because of them, that is the only reason I tolerate you. Why? Because he made a promise to them. He made a promise to them of their seed. It is not that we have done anything. He has made the promise already. And his word is what binds him. He's bound by his word. And he cannot lie. That he cannot. But there is a retribution to those that reject the instructions of Yahweh. Let me move quickly, all right? There's something profound I want to read. You don't have the Apocrypha, but I want to read this. It is in Yasar. It says this. And Abraham knew Yahweh. Now he knew Yahweh. And for one to know someone, can you ever know even yourself? Unless you really deal with the values of your own heart. There are people who will say to me, they have said to me, I hate myself. Because when they discover what they are, it is a putrefied, ugly person. You never said that to yourself, I hate myself, I despise. I've said that to me. Because when you find out actually what's in you, when you actually think it's someone else that possessed that, it's actually you. And you will say, I hate myself for that. You've never hated yourself for an action or deed you've done? I have. So I hate myself for what I've said, how I did that, my response. I dislike myself. He says, and Abraham knew Yahweh, and the only way you were a new one, you know someone, you got to understand the heart. And the only way you're going to understand Yahweh, you must go back to the Bereshit and see how he dealt with his people. And see how he dealt with situations and circumstances. It says that Abraham knew Yahweh, and he went in his ways. He knew Yahweh, and he went in the ways of Yahweh, and he went in the instruction. He went in the instructions, and Yahweh, his Almighty, was with him. Now, that was the assurance that Yahweh was with him. Because he went in the ways of Yahweh, the ways of man, they seem right, don't they? Our corrupt ways seem right. To who? Nobody but you. And they corrupt you even the more, and you don't receive the instructions of Yahweh. How are you going to know which line to get in unless Yahweh tells you? How are you going to know how to get your mind ready for the great onslaught of darkness that is already overtaking this world? You don't see that, then you are a flat out ignorant thing. They're going to control every aspect of your life, whether you believe that or not. That's why the enemy has made this generation so superficial. The young ones are walking around with 10,000 songs on an iPod, and they say that their brains are numbed. And then there's a generation that has been raised to desire this, the corruption of lust. And that's why they have no power of the word of Yahweh in them. None at all. The deceitfulness of riches. And other lusts enter in. And it chokes out the word of Yahweh. So they've been raised on lust. And the parents have tried to supply every little thing that they wanted. And so they've been raised that way. They don't understand the concept of reality and what is true and the truisms and the realisms of life. They don't understand that. They really don't. Why? Because they're never touched by the things that a little brother or sister in Kenya is touched by today. They're not touched by the things like the ones there in Mexico have been touched by today. They are brothers and sisters in Mexico. And they have a more fervent love for Yahweh than you possess. Their brothers and sisters went into the earthen tabernacles this morning. They fell down. They cried out. Women did not go in their haughty. They did not go in the air of their pride. They went in there very humble. And they cried out unto Yahweh. They lifted up their hands unto Yahweh. They exalted him. And the tears flowed from their eyes. Not even knowing that they will have a piece of bread this evening. And yet we think that we have a great blessing. We are on a great delusion today. America has polluted your mind, so we think that things is the sign of Yahweh with us. That's a false illusion. You are a fool. HaMashiach was rich, but he became poor, that he may bring us to the light of Yahweh's great riches. And so we are under this strange delusion today to actually think that we are in possession of great character because we have a house or a car. No, you don't. You just have a note. That's all you have. You're enslaved. The instructions of Yahweh is what liberates you. Did he not tell Moshe exactly what to do when he brought the house out? If Noah had diminished one aspect of building that great saving reservoir, that ark, would it have saved anybody? It would have not saved one. And the only way he could do that, he moved with fear. We don't fear Yahweh today. That's the only way Noah could do that. He moved with fear. Were there instructions there? Did he instruct him in every aspect of it? Did he come down to the minute details, how to pitch it, what to put there, and how to secure it? Did he do that? So he does the same thing in this hour as well. And he does it by his mitzvot, his statutes, his ordinance, to make sure that we walk in our lives that is ordained of Yahweh. That is what an ordinance is. It gives us an ordination as to how we do things. And that is what Yahweh is trying to do to a house. And those that are the seed of Yisrael, out of the loins of Yitzhak and Abraham, he has a little tolerance with them to speak to them. He's not going to continue that way. Because he cut them off in the wilderness, he's going to do the same thing. Many are called. Those men with Moshe, they were called, were they not? But Moshe was the elected one to speak, to instruct, and command according to Yahweh's instruction. So when one, as Abram, he walked in all of his ways, he received his instructions, and because of that he knew Yahweh. When you receive instructions, it makes it so easy to do things, doesn't it? When old Brother Simmons go through that little finger, little books, believe me, they don't make the books complicated. They're not complicated to put together a desk or a cabinet. It's not complicated. They make it very easy because we don't do it. When they tell you to load software on a computer, it's not complicated. You just do what the instructions say. Because we don't do what the instructions say, we have difficult. There's nothing difficult about it. So what Yahweh has given us from the very shade, it's not difficult. It is the mind of man. Listen to this quickly. I want to read a few scriptures, but I want you to hear them. It says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. He says, you gave also your tov, your good ruah, to... Now this is why he sent the ruah. This is why HaMashiach said, I will pray unto the Abba, and he shall send the comforter, the ruah, the power of Yahweh. So he gave us, this is not just something that happened in our day, it has always been. He gave us his tov, ruah, to yasa, or instruct them. Now that is what the Ruach of Yahweh does. What is the first premonition, principles of one having the Ruach? What does it do? It deals with what? Sin. The sin of who? Your neighbor. Know your sin. And the Ruach constantly shows you your weakness and your corruption. That's what it always does. And that is what comforts you to know you're walking in the instructions of Yahweh. Not this foolishness that they call the Ruach of Yahweh. The Ruach doesn't act unseemly. Yahweh doesn't do things unseemly. He doesn't act foolish or silly. He's not silly at all. He said, but you will be taken by that silly spirit if you don't obey me. You don't hear what I say. So he gave us the Ruach to instruct us, the Yasah, to instruct them, and withheld not your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. Now he has given us a living water in HaMashiach. He's given us He has renewed our minds. He has renewed the heart of man that he may understand Yahweh's purpose and the power of Yahweh in a dynamic that is much greater than what Israel, they came out of Mizraim. They came out of Egypt. He has caused their understanding to be opened in such a great way and to sense and to know the power of this living hope. It's what Yahweh has done. And the only way you go to rejoice in that, you must be instructed in it. You must discipline your mind to be instructed in that. You must discipline yourself, not with folly and foolishness, but by scripture. There are old people every morning they meet at the McDonald's and their little places to discipline themselves with folly and foolishness. Isn't that so? There are women that meet every day to discipline themselves with lies and corruption. There are men that meet every day to discipline themselves with folly and foolishness. And if men do that, to be a ball player, you got to discipline yourself. You can't play basketball to be an excellent ball player. You got to play it every day. The body is conditioned to that. But when it comes to Yahweh, it doesn't take that. We are so ignorant. We're an ignorant people. If they dedicate their lives to that, and we say we love the sovereign ruler, don't you know there must be a greater dedication unto him? When men can spend 5 hours a day on the basketball court, honing, perfecting their ball handling and their skill, and we don't spend 5 minutes with Yahweh a day, no prayer in your lives, no strength. It's one thing about the virtuous daughter, her husband had great strength, because she, first of all, she was a praying woman. She loved Yahweh. And there's one thing about her I was looking at last night. It was something just very magnificent about her. Can I tell you about her, a virtuous woman? Can I tell you? She always had, and always did, and always grew a garden. She always did that. That's what Scripture says. And she planted a vineyard. She blessed a garden. Get quiet on that one, doesn't it? I noticed that when I was in Africa, all the women, they always plant a garden. They do. Every last one of them. That was the strength of their home. That was the staple of their home. And so what this nation has done is made the women lazy. Shiftless. They plant vineyards, but it's crop. Words and I don't take anything back. See, these things to help you. So that you don't continue walking in the folly of your own ignorance and your stupidity. Look at what Shaul says unto Karanah in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16. I've been quoting this, but I want to read it the way he says it. For who has known the mind of Yahweh? Have you known the mind of Yahweh? Have you known it? Who have known the mind of Yahweh? That he might yassah, or instruct, discipline, command, speak authoritatively to admonish. Can you admonish Yahweh? Can you instruct Yahweh? Can you chastise him? And yet we try to do that, don't we? So who has known his mind that he may do that unto you, Yahweh? But he says this. But we have the mind of Messiah. Now that's a great value there. Because in all that he did, he was instructed in every aspect of life. Everything that Yahweh commanded him to do, he received the instructions. He knew that his time was limited. He knew his purpose in life. And he knew what he had to eat. He knew the cup he had to drink from. It was a very bitter cup, but he knew he had to drink from that cup. He had to. And he was prepared to do that from the child up. Because his parents, they walked in the Torah. They kept the feast, the Moeds of Yahweh. They walked in the disciplines of Yahweh. And from a child he was trained in the wisdom and in the instructions of Yahweh. And he knew what he had to do. We have not been trained that way. We have not been brought up that way. And the reason why, because our parents, our lineage was given over unto every kind of strange religious worship there is. And they still hold fast to those tenets. They do not want the truth of Yahweh, because it cuts down to the root of everything. It literally separates whole houses, mamas, daddies, daughters, sons, husbands and wives. It separates. It brings a great divide. That's what it does. It shows whose side that you are on. I will declare this day that I am on Yahweh's side. I will make it known that I am on Yahweh's side, and I stand for the disciplines of Yahweh. And so that's what truth does. That's what the sword does. It separates. It declares. It makes known. That's what instructions do. A man that is illiterate, he can't read instructions. The old man said to me the other day, I was in the town in Jefferson, and he said to me, we were talking. He was not a man. He's not an old man that's an arrogant old man. He was just honest with me. He's not that old either, really. He said to me, preacher, have you begun to plant? I said, there are certain things we put out. We started things. He said to me, what phase is the moon in now? I said, oh man, I don't hardly use that at all. He said, preacher, you don't use that? It's vital, it's important. And he said, I don't know, because he pulled me to the side. He said, I can't read. I can't read. I said, well, let's walk over here to Rory's, because they have a calendar. We'll find out, old man. You see that? He said, I can't read. He was honest enough to say that, if you tell me, I'll believe it. We are so arrogant if Yahweh tells us, we don't believe it. But the old man said to me, I can't read. I don't know. I don't know how to read. I don't even know how to read and write my name. But if you can tell me, is what he said, I will believe you. I said, let us go in here. And the old man has the ability to retain those things. He has the ability to retain. We don't have the ability to retain truth, do we? Come on. But you can retain every kind of little trivial thing that causes you to be corrupt even the more, can't you? You can retain trash that has no value at all. It is not important. What is important is the Bereshit. It's the beginning of Yahweh's power manifesting in your life. And you will know that He is there when He began to instruct you. It is by the way of reproving you. You will know it. It's not going to be done in some little handy-pandy way.
Come on, by the standards of the physical anatomy of man, I am obese. Now I am. I weigh about 255 pounds. 260. I'm obese.
Well, I know I need to get down to about 240. I understand that. But it takes a discipline to get down to that. Sure it does. And I can discipline myself for a day or two. And I can't do it. Then I walk back two or three more days, and then I fall back into the same entrapments. You understand that. You don't play phony on me here. You all understand what I'm saying. And that's the way life is. So what Yahweh says, in order for you not to be entrapped or fall into those snares, let me discipline your mind. Let me correct your ways. And I will begin by showing you your ways. I began to show you about you first. And that's what he does. He shows you, you're weak because you want to do that. You don't do it because there's a willingness. He said, if you be willing and obedient, will you not eat the good of the land? If you just be willing and obey, will not good things come to you? If you just obey Yahweh, brothers and sisters, I don't care what wife, husband, son, daughter say. You just obey Him. You will see the blessing of Yahweh. I don't care what they say. You just be willing and obedient. So if I would just be willing and obedient, I would do that. Can I tell you something? I watch my wife as she does things. But she reads a lot on the things that she's doing. Now, that's the honest truth. Now, watch Sister Roberts. I will sit there for hours, and she's reading things, and she'll tell me things. She'll say things to me, and because of my opposition to that, I said, no! I don't want that. That's where I am. Well, when she began to say certain things to me, I can see and I understand what she is saying because it's a discipline. It begins to tear down the old building blocks, and it began to build the thing anew. It uses the same blocks. But it just make them new. Renew them. Put a more temperate mortar in there. You need temperance or discipline or strength. It tempers the mortar. It makes the mortar strong. It puts down rebar. Reinforce the foundation how you began to build the principles upon. And that's what Yahweh said. He said, what I say to you, that's nothing. Can tear it down. That's nothing. Not only did I instruct you and give you instruction, but I fed you. I gave you matter. So in the midst of instructing you, Yassah, when he Yassah you, he's giving you bread to eat. He's giving you something to hold on. He's putting a piece of bread that is not leavened, but an unleavened bread to eat. If that is something that is full of corruption, this book is not a corrupt book. Man has corrupted it, but the book itself is not corrupt. It is not corrupt. It's a book of great wisdom and revelation. It's a book of experience. It's a book of relationship. It's a book of one-on-one. And everything in this book deals with the one-on-one, you and him. Period. And everything he speaks, whether you like it or not, is dealing with you. Look at who you are. He's talking to you. He's showing you. And brothers and sisters, we're not going into the kingdom that way. We've been taught fallacies, but we're not going into the kingdom. I say to the brothers all the time, I say to them, I'm going to make sure I say me. I'm going to walk in his disciplines. Hallelujah, Yahweh. If you don't want to walk in them, don't walk in them. I'm all right. I'm going to be all right. Yahweh says in his instructions unto Israel, listen to this. He says in Wayira, in Leviticus chapter 26, 23. That this is profound here. We don't believe this though. Look what he says. He says here in Leviticus 26, 23. He says, and if you will not be reformed. Now I know in our vernacular we understand what that means. But he said, if you will not be Yassah, if you will not be reformed, if you will not change, if you will not be disciplined, if you will not receive direction, if you cannot receive commandments, that is what that word means. It's the same word, Yassah. If you will not be reformed by me, is that Yahweh talking? By me, by these things, but we walk contrary to me. You know what a contrary spirit is? It's one that opposes, right? It is one that is contrarywise. It will not obey what he says. It's one that rejects. I oppose that. I don't like it. I will not do it. He said, if you will walk contrary to me, if you will be hostile. And we are hostile toward Yahweh, aren't we? We are very hostile. We become inflamed. We don't like no kind of instructions. We don't want nobody telling us our sins. And you certainly don't like Pastor Robert telling you that. I will tell you about you. I will tell you about your damnable wicked ways. And I'm not afraid. I said to Elder Mar this morning, Elder Mar, believe me. I understand what you said when he got on me. Did you mean with that when he got on me? I didn't try to oppose Elder Mar. I said to him this morning, I said, I understand what you're saying, Elder. But believe me, by no terms am I a shallow, weak man. By no term. I deal with people that are weak and shallow. So you deal with them on that level. So when they're weak and shallow, you tend to deal with them that way. But there's no way that I would condescend to the truth of Yahweh for no one. I know who it is. That's the truth. He said, if you want to walk contrary to me, look what he says now. He said, if you want to do that, if you will not be reformed, or yasa, you will not be instructed, and you want to walk contrary to me, look what he says in verse 24. Then will I also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sin. Is that Yahweh speaking? He said, you walk contrary to me. And we wonder why our families and our children, our homes, and the hellish messes end. Because we walk contrary to Yahweh. He said, I will punish you seven times for you being contrary. He opposed me. Well, he said that to my son, and I don't like it. He's telling your son what it's going to take to walk in the disciplines of Yahweh. He's telling your daughter what it's going to take because she has a superficial understanding of life. And you oppose me because I said that. And then you see this thing seven times worse. As the unclean spirit was cast out, it says, I will go, I will look and see if the house is ready. It comes back, found the house swept, garnished, and clean. And it takes back with him seven more demonic powers that are more wicked than that one. He always said, I will punish him seven times. For your sin. Why? Because you oppose me with a hostile spirit. And that is something that is prevalent amongst the people that say they love Yahweh. They love to get hostile, don't they? Come on, say, help me, Yahweh. You love to get hostile to speak your little silly mind. We love to get hostile. Wives get hostile with their husbands. Husbands get hostile with their wives. Brothers get hostile with brothers. Sisters with sisters. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. But okay, who you are? I've seen young men get hostile with their parents. And when I would talk to them, I watch them weep and I watch them cry. It's wrong to do it. It doesn't show a sign of strength. It shows signs of weakness. An old man like that, why get hostile with him? You think Elder Martin has not experienced more things in life than I have? Well, certainly he has. You think his verbiage is more palatable or correct in mind? It may not be, but he knows how to express things. I won't reject that. I'm not a fool. The scripture says to the king, King, hear instruction. You hear that. Be instructed, King. Be instructed, David. Come on. Yahweh means what he says. His instructions and what he instructs a man in, it is not just meant for one or two. It's meant for his house. It was one thing that my grandmother would say, I lay the laws down. Yahweh has laid the Torah down, hasn't he? He should have written it in our heart to be the true seed. She said, I laid the law down. This is what's going to be. And that is what it was, too. When they laid the law down, it was laid down. You didn't break the law without consequences. And he always said the same thing. He's gone farther than laying the law down. He has written them in the love, the mind of man. And he has put them in the inward part of the true seed. Of the true seed. You don't have to see this, not there. That's why you're undisciplined. That's why you cannot be disciplined. That's why your lives are fractious. Lives. Were you fractured, Pastor Rob? No, I'm stable, man. I really am. I'm very stable. Why? Because I keep my mind on Him. I talk about Him all the time. That's all my conversation is about. I don't care what we're talking about. It's about Scripture and truth. And that's just the truth. I don't know anything else to talk about. Oh, I may use events and things in the world, but it's all about Him and what He's doing. What else is there to talk about? To talk about Kobe Bryant, what is that? I'd rather talk about the Creator than the creature. And I love talking about Him too. You come to me, you better be prepared. And don't come to me superficial and shallow either. Don't come to me with one or two scriptures that support your ways. If anything, those scriptures will show you what you're corrupt in. Show you how you're missing it. That's what it does. That's what Yahweh always shows us. For we're missing it. And we are missing it. I want to emphasize that contrariness in another scripture. I want to read this. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I want to emphasize that. He says, look at the same chapter in verse 27. Yahweh says, And if you will not for all this listen to me, but will walk contrary to me, he says, then will I walk contrary to you also in Hamah, in my fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. He says, you're going to make me angry with you. Will you become hostile toward me? Well, what is the hostility today? Isn't this a generation that rejects Yahweh's Torah? They defy His name, this religious Jezebel, this whorish nature today. That those that will keep the Shabbat and the Mitzvot before that, they defy that. They will not honor His name. His name is the most valuable thing of His identity. That those that say they love Yahweh, how can you say you love Him and you oppose and you're hostile toward His name? I don't care if it's your dad or your mama. It makes no difference at all. Your sons or your daughters. How can you say you are not contrary to Him? You are hostile when they defy His name. It's a generation that defies it. When He tells us to keep His feast, His Moed, and they keep Christmas and Halloween. They keep birthdays and wedding anniversaries. Mama, isn't that amazing? Because they're husbands and wives that will raise hell all year. When the anniversary comes, they keep that. And they go back to the same mode after that. Well, you keep them, never kept a one. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Because that's not the sign of my love to my wife. It is the fidelity and faithfulness. It is the communication. It is the sensitivity. It is the touch. It is the caring. It incorporates the emotions and all of those actions that evolve from those things. It's the words. It is not the bed, it's the word. All those things play a vital part. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So why keep the anniversary when I treat her like hell all year? What I mean to her, what important value is that? I'd rather keep it every day, just love every day. This is the day that Yahweh has given us. It's a new day. So I'm going to try to love even more. That's why Yahweh says to the older sisters, Yahweh commanded the man, it came straight from His voice, husband, love your wife. He said to you women to teach these young girls how to love husbands because they don't know how to. They're cruel with them, they're not sweet to them, they don't know how to build the strength in a man. That does not build the strength in a man when you're crude, when you're obnoxious, when you hustle toward him. That's why they must be taught. You're so arrogant, young daughters, and your silliness and your stupidity. You think you know everything and you know nothing. You must be taught. Your elderly sister must teach them how to love their husbands. Teach them how to reverence them. That's part of Yahweh's statutes, Torah teaching. Teach them. Don't tell me you know how to because you don't know how to. And Yahweh said, because I'm the head of Hamashiach, I say to man, you love your wife, man. You love them. And you do it because that's my stature. And He teaches us how to love a wife. And because of the beauty of their love, it brings us to the real religion and the tenets of love and the emotions of love. I don't want a cold wife. I don't want a wife that's cold. I want my wife to be tender. I don't want a wife that's rebellious and speak to me in any kind of way. I want her to talk right and out of me. She's going to do that in my house. Or she will go to hell. That's it. I want a wife that speaks to me like she knows who she's speaking to. She's speaking to a man. That's what she's speaking to. Man.